If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 33, and the first part of verse 12, a word for 4th of July. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12a, very familiar words, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this country. Lord, every single one of us could list out all kinds of blessings for being an American. And concern is today that so many people have forgotten that, what America really is, what America was intended to be. I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, from your word, from history, exactly what it is, Lord, the calling of this country is, and how we need to be standing for what it truly means. Pray you'd come to us now, the power of your Holy Spirit, and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. I ask all this in your name. Amen. Last June the 19th, California Senator Dianne Feinstein, protesting the separation of families at the U.S.-Mexico border, said this: "This is the United States of America. This is not Nazi Germany." And you know what? She's right. The United States of America is not Nazi Germany, because the United States of America does not do what Nazi Germany did. But what does Dianne Feinstein then think America is? What is America? And what is America supposed to be and meant to be? The text we have in front of us this morning reminds us. This coming Wednesday is July the 4th, the 242nd anniversary of the founding of the United States of America. And the problem is, our nation right now is in serious trouble, because we have never been more divided politically and spiritually than we are right now. And the biggest reason is because too many Americans either don't have a clue or couldn't care less what America really is or what America is supposed to be. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us that. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12 tells us three things that America is supposed to be according to God and our founding fathers. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that America is a nation under God, just exactly like our founding fathers intended. Because regardless of what all the internet trolls say, and regardless of what popular opinion says today, our founding fathers were not ACLU attorneys and members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation who didn't want prayer at high school graduation ceremonies. George Washington said this: "It is impossible to rightly govern this nation without God in the Bible." But Kevin, Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, he was a deist, and he said this: "Christianity neither is nor ever was a part of the common law." Yeah, another example of a quote from our founding fathers totally taken out of context by an atheist. Folks, Thomas Jefferson wrote those words back in 1763, before America even started as a nation. He wrote those words in a letter to a friend about ancient Saxons in England who did not put Christian principles into their law because they didn't even know about Christianity then. So Thomas Jefferson was not talking about U.S. law or the U.S. Constitution at all. Nice try, but no cigar. Thomas Jefferson also said this: "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are a gift from God?" Don't tell me that our founding fathers did not start this country with a biblical worldview and biblical principles under God. But the problem is, America has turned her back on God today, on every side. George Barna tells us only 56% of Americans today even still believe in the God of the Bible. And it shows. Hasbro has now come out with a special version of that game Monopoly called Monopoly Cheaters Edition that has cards that invite you to play dirty and cheat by stealing money from the bank or collecting rent on other people's property. And notice it says for ages 8 and up. So not only will that game teach your kids to cheat, it'll also teach them that they can win if they're good enough at it. Last April, the California House of Representatives voted to ban the sale of all printed material in that state that says that homosexuality or transgender identity is wrong. And that sets people free from same-sex attraction. Folks, in case you don't realize it, they voted to ban the sale of the Bible in the state of California. Last May, on an episode of The Simpsons, Bart Simpson gets struck by lightning. And because of that, he's haunted by ghosts. And when his friend Milhouse holds out a crucifix toward him to try to help him, Bart Simpson said this, "I don't believe in that dopey religion." Christianity, dopey religion. Our entertainment mocks God, our public schools push Islam, our boys want to become girls, and we have an entire generation that's worshiping comic book characters. Don't tell me we are not that generation that forgot God. People in America so hell-bent on kicking God out of this country, they don't realize our nation will never survive without it. John Adams said this, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our founding fathers knew it's Christianity that makes America work, and that it's only Christianity that can truly unify this nation. But see, people don't believe that anymore. So what's unifying America today? Jurassic World? Pornhub? Recreational pot? Jesus said, John chapter 15, verse 5, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that even includes having a nation. Liberals think they can destroy the godly foundation of America and just replace it with another one. But they don't realize, you destroy that foundation, everything collapses. Amen. Last May the 18th, a 17-year-old demonic young man shot and killed 10 people, Santa Fe High School in Santa Fe, Texas. Does anybody remember back in 2000 when the Supreme Court made a ruling that student-led prayers over a loudspeaker before the start of a high school football game were unconstitutional? Does anybody remember what high school that ruling was directed toward? That would be Santa Fe High School in Santa Fe, Texas. How many of y'all realize once you kick God out, you invite the devil in? Ronald Reagan said, "If we are not a nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under." And that is exactly what we see. America's forgotten God because America's forgotten that without God, we wouldn't even be here. From the very beginning. Right at the start of the American Revolution, after the Battle of Concord, April 1775, the British, under General Howe, retreated to the city of Boston and fortified the place, while the Americans cut off all access and laid siege to it. The Americans weren't strong enough to kick the British out because of the ships in Boston Harbor, and the British weren't strong enough to break out. So when General George Washington took command of the American Continental Army, July 1775, he wanted to try to do something to break the stalemate. And Washington realized that if he took control of Dorchester Heights, hills overlooking the city of Boston and Boston Harbor, the British would either attack him or they would run. So in the winter of 1775, Washington had 60 tons of cannon captured earlier in the war by Benedict Arnold from the British at Fort Ticonderoga, put on ox sleds and dragged 300 miles through ice and snow. January 1776, Washington put those cannon on top of Dorchester Heights. He also moved 5,000 of his soldiers to Dorchester Heights and five companies of riflemen loaded for bear, ready to unload everything they had on the British in Boston and those ships on Boston Harbor. And Washington thought if the British retreated because he had the high ground, praise God. But if the British attacked Dorchester Heights, he at that time would send 4,000 men across Back Bay in Boston and attack the city, assuming that the British could not attack Dorchester Heights and defend Boston at the same time. So on the morning of March 4, 1776, British General Howe looked out, saw that the Americans had dug in on Dorchester Heights to the teeth. So he planned the very next morning, March the 5th, to send 9,000 troops to Castle Island for an eventual assault on Dorchester Heights. Morning of March 5th, General Howe and General Washington were both ready to make their move when all of a sudden, amazingly, miraculously, the freakiest stormageddon, the likes of which Boston has never seen before or since, blew in from absolutely nowhere. Hurricane force winds, freezing rain, blowing ice and snow so bad that Dorchester Heights was too slippery to march up and Boston Harbor was too rough to row across. So both Howe and Washington scrapped their battle plans. The very next day after that, General Howe sent a memo to General Washington saying if the Americans would allow the Redcoats to evacuate Boston without any interference, they wouldn't torch the city. Washington agreed. March 17th, the last Redcoat left Boston. The amazing thing. And here's the kicker. All military experts agree that because George Washington was still learning on the job, because all of his men had no battle experience whatsoever, and because he had severely underestimated how well fortified the British had made the city of Boston, those British soldiers would have not only taken Dorchester Heights, the British ships in the harbor would have taken those 4,000 Americans in those boats and used them for target practice. Washington would have lost half of his army, and the American Revolution would have been over before it even really got started. But instead, the Americans took the city of Boston without a fight. The cradle of the revolution was back in their hands. Washington's Continental Army was still intact, and they bought valuable time to train more and learn more so they could fight another day. And why? All because of that amazing, miraculous, freakazoid stormageddon that came right out of nowhere. General George Washington wrote this in a letter to his brother. The severe badness of this storm, this remarkable interposition of providence, is for some wise purpose, I have no doubt, for our ultimate victory. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God has been the Lord of this nation, and because of that, He's pulled our fat out of the fire and blessed us over and over and over and over again. The first thing that America is a nation under God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. America is not only a nation under God, America is also a nation of law. John Adams said, a government of laws and not men. America is not ruled by people who make up their own law. America is ruled by people according to law that is already there, the rule of law. And that law applies to absolutely everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what color they are, how rich or poor they are, no matter what their situation is, however good or bad, happy or sad. Everybody falls under the law. Nobody is above it. Nobody is below it. It applies to absolutely everybody. America is a nation of law, not men. And that law is still in effect, no matter how many people still want to squawk about it. Just this past Tuesday, the United States Supreme Court upheld President Trump's travel ban on people coming out of terrorist countries because the U.S. Constitution says the president has the power to restrict travel from any country that poses a threat to national security. And you cannot deny the president his constitutional powers just because you don't like him. That's the law. That court also threw out a California law that required pro-life Christian centers to recommend abortion clinics to pregnant women. It's like making McDonald's recommend to their customers that they go to Burger King down the street. Only in this case, there's a real live baby at stake. Christians cannot be denied their freedom of conscience. That's the law. Today, everybody from the Parkland students to Michael Moore wants to confiscate your guns. But see, there's this pesky little thing in the Constitution called the Second Amendment that guarantees your right to own and to carry. That's the law. We are a nation of law, not men. And exactly the same thing is true with immigration. It is a criminal offense to cross from Mexico into the United States if you do not go through a legal port of entry. And because it's the job of the executive branch to execute the law, the Trump administration has a zero-tolerance policy. Anyone who comes into this country illegally will be criminally prosecuted. You say, but Kevin, America doesn't do that. No, America does do that. And America has been doing that for a long, long time. All those cages and detention centers along the U.S.-Mexico border that you've seen on the news the last couple of weeks, President Trump didn't build those, regardless of what the media tries to tell us. Because those cages and detention centers have been there for 30, 40, and 50 years. And they have been used. Those two girls in that cage. The media told us that Donald Trump put those girls in those cages. That picture was taken back in 2014, which means it was President Obama who put those girls in that cage. And because it's been federal law since 1996 that adult federal detainees cannot be housed with their children, children are separated from their parents. So that's not Trump's policy. That's federal law. It's just that all the other presidents refuse to observe it and to enforce it. At least totally. Because, folks, President Obama separated all kinds of families at the border, too. See the sign there? Taken from 2015, Obama, don't separate me from my mommy. President Obama deported over 3 million illegals from this country back to Mexico with something called Rocket Docket that took illegal families, even with children and babies, and immediately deported them upon arrival without even giving them the opportunity to stand in front of an immigration judge with full knowledge and support of his liberal colleagues. Here's what Hillary Clinton said back in 2015. If you cross the border illegally, you will be prosecuted and detained and returned to your country. And just because you get your child across the border doesn't mean you and your child get to stay or stay together. My, 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 how things have changed. President Obama did absolutely everything that President Trump is doing today. But because of media bias, we never heard one single word about it. But Kevin, why separate children from their parents? To protect them? To keep the parents from using those kids as pawns to get in the United States? To keep the parents from selling those children to other adults for the same purpose? To keep those kids from becoming drug mules, to keep them from being recruited by MS-13 who will turn them into gang members and set them loose in even more neighborhoods here in the United States. But Kevin, doesn't it break your heart to see children separated from their parents? Of course it does, absolutely. But you know what? Those parents know what the law is. And they know what the consequences are for breaking it, and they break it anyway. Now, last June the 20th, President Trump signed an executive order to stop the separation of families. But zero tolerance policy remains in effect. And you know why? Because we are a nation of law, not men. And there's been hell to pay from all kinds of protesters because of it. Last week, Congresswoman Maxine Waters told all of her constituents to go out and publicly harass everybody in the Trump administration that's connected in any way with border policy. And that's exactly what's happened. Last June the 22nd, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders and six members of her family were kicked out of a restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, because the owner said President Trump is evil and inhumane. And not only did that owner kick them out, she followed them down the street into another restaurant and even badmouthed them in there. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was heckled out of a Mexican restaurant in Washington, D.C. And not only that, but later on that night, protesters went to her house and shouted, shame, 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 all night long. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi was threatened by three men who stalked her and even spit on her while she was going into a movie theater. Gee, I thought it was only conservatives that were fighting a war against women. And it gets even worse. Julian Assange put online 9,000 names, pictures, addresses, and phone numbers of employees of Immigration Service and Homeland Security so people could find them and harass them too. Last Monday, the carcass of some kind of an animal that had been decapitated and set on fire was left on the front steps of the house of a Homeland Security staffer in Washington, D.C., where his little 7-year-old boy found it that morning. I could go on and on and on. And do you know what fries my bacon the most? All these people who are supposedly concerned about children being separated from their parents are exactly the same people who bend over backwards to support Planned Parenthood and abortion that murders children by the trainload before they even get a chance to be born. Abortion separates children from their parents permanently. Wasn't for double standards that have no standards at all. Folks, law enforcement officials in America with Homeland Security and Immigration Service are being harassed and threatened with violence. But why should that surprise us? Because once a nation gets rid of the rule of law, the only thing less is mob rule and tribalism that turns democracy into dictatorship. America is forgetting that we are a nation of law, and because of that, we're doing it to our own peril. The second thing that America is a nation of law. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that America is. America is not only a nation under God, we are not only a nation of laws, but third, we are a nation of citizens. I don't care how many of those signs you see people holding up today, they're not true. We are not a nation of immigrants, we are a nation of citizens. Because the vast majority of people in this country are not immigrants. The vast majority of America. I'm not an immigrant. My parents weren't immigrants. My grandparents weren't immigrants. Hundreds of millions of Americans today are neither immigrants nor descendants of immigrants because they are American-born children of American-born parents. We are citizens. And the history of immigration in this country shows why. Now, most people today have this silly idea that America has always been totally wide open to absolutely anybody throughout the world who has ever wanted to come here. And that's not true. And it never has been. The people who originally settled this country were from Great Britain, mostly England. And that's not racist or bigoted or xenophobic, it's just historical fact. This country was not originally settled by Chinese Buddhists or Mexican Catholics, or Middle Eastern Muslims. It was Anglo-European Christians. And by 1776, the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, there had already been a distinct American culture and society in our colonies for over 150 years. All of our founding fathers were born here in this country. And those early Americans worked very hard to maintain that American identity by making sure that not just anybody got in here. Mass immigration to the United States started in 1840 based on who the immigrant was, what country they were coming from, why they wanted to come to the United States, what skills they had that were useful to our country, what they believed politically and spiritually. In 1890 and again in 1924, the United States government shut down all immigration altogether to, as Congress said, preserve the homogeneity of the country. In other words, to give those immigrants the chance to assimilate and learn the language and become Americans. And they did. But we also need to realize millions and millions of people from all over the world also got turned away. You say, but Kevin, the Statue of Liberty, that celebrates wide open immigration. No. The Statue of Liberty was a gift from France to celebrate America's independence from England. That poem by Emma Lazarus, "Give me your tired, your poor," that was just added on later. But Kevin, the national motto, E Pluribus Unum, that talks about all different people all over the world coming here to become one. No. E Pluribus Unum originally talked about the 13 original colonies becoming one nation, America, not America becoming a melting pot. Now, did America benefit from immigration? Of course, absolutely. You better believe it. But only because America worked at keeping America the majority culture. And by insisting that immigrants who come to this country prove how much they wanted to become Americans by having them get legal U.S. citizenship. You want some of the benefits of this country? Fine. But you've got to assume some of the responsibility. Because those Americans believed, and new. If we don't preserve this, and I'm not talking about race or color because there's Americans of all kinds of races and all kinds of colors. I'm talking about a constitutional republic, God-given freedoms, equal rights, Christian faith, and a common language. Things that are totally foreign to the vast majority of immigrants who come here today. If we don't preserve this, then this is not going to be here. And nobody's going to want to come here, and nobody's even going to be able to come here. But see, Americans today have lost that sense. You see these signs all over the place. The land, this land is for everyone. No borders, no borders, no nation. Stop deportations. Everybody can just roam all over the world like free-range beef. Folks, you don't have a border, you don't have a country. If you don't have assimilation, you don't have a country. If you don't have the founding group as the majority, you don't have a country. You just have a free-range mob. That's why here in America, we cannot just do catch and release with people like at a bass tournament. We can't just catch illegal people at the border and then turn them loose into our country to do whatever they want. We simply cannot take into this country every single person who wants to come here. Well, Kevin, America is just anti-immigration. Have you ever been to a major city in this country? Have you seen the people who live there? America takes in more immigrants than any other nation in the entire world. Well, Kevin, you're just anti-immigration. No, I'm anti-illegal immigration. If you really want help and you knock at my front door and you ask me, I will help you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you look like. But don't sneak around the back of the house, break in the bathroom window, and then come up from behind me without me knowing it, and then demand that I feed you and take care of you. There is a right way to be legal in this country. It's called citizenship. And yes, the process is way too hard, and it's way too convoluted, because our Congress is so scared to death of getting reelected, they'll never reform it. But we are not a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of citizens. All kinds of churches, all kinds of Christians in America today doing all kinds of things to help illegals. What can we do? What can we do to help them do the right thing? But see, this whole hubbub, it really isn't about immigration anyway, is it? It's all about slamming President Donald J. Trump. And the recent cover of Time magazine proves it. There's the little 2-year-old girl crying because she's been separated from her parents by big, bad, mean old President Trump, who's standing over her and staring down at her. But see, what the media didn't tell you, because there's the actual picture that was taken from, that little girl was never separated from her mother because she's only 18 inches away from her. And U.S. Border Patrol says that little girl and her mother were never separated from each other throughout the whole process and still aren't today. But see, that girl's mother did separate her from that girl's father and 3 of her brothers and sisters down in Honduras when mom took off with that little girl without even telling her husband to use that little girl as a ticket to get into the United States. And what's even worse, that mother has already been deported at least once before for trying to do exactly the same thing. You talk about photoshopping and fake news. Listen, you've got something against President Trump. If you disagree with him about something, there's a right way to address it. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles were the Cinderella story of the NFL. How they overcame the injury of their starting quarterback to win the Super Bowl. How all kinds of Christians on that team did all kinds of things to share their faith with other NFL teams and people all over the country. And even though only one player on the Eagles ever took a knee during a singing of the national anthem, right after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, all kinds of players on that team said they would never go to the White House to be honored by Donald Trump, no matter what, including a lot of the Christians. So just June the 4th, when that ceremony was scheduled, when President Trump was told only 10 players were going to show up, he said the heck with it, canceled the ceremony altogether. Now, compare what the NFL football champions did to the college football champions, the Alabama Crimson Tide, who won another national title last January the 9th. They were scheduled to be honored by the president last April the 10th at the White House. And even though college football players are not the same as pro football players, Alabama head coach told his players, I don't care what you think about Trump, you're going. And they all did. One team blew off the White House to show up the president. The other team went to the White House to lift up the president. One player in particular, Alabama's punter, J.K. Scott, who's now the punter for the Green Bay Packers. J.K. Scott is totally apolitical. He is neither red or blue whatsoever, couldn't care less about politics, but he's a born-again Christian who loves the Lord. And during the plane trip with the rest of the team to Washington, D.C., God laid on his heart that he was going to be in some way a blessing to President Trump. So during the ceremony, Alabama's players are standing on the risers on the south lawn of the White House. President Trump is speaking, and the Holy Spirit gave J.K. Scott a compassion for President Trump, not as president, for who he is, as the person, as the man. So when the ceremony was over and President Trump was shaking a bunch of hands with the players, he looked right at J.K. Scott, and the Holy Spirit said, go for it. So J.K. Scott stepped forward, shook the president's hand, and said, Mr. Trump, can I pray over you? And Donald Trump says, yeah, come on. So J.K. Scott put one hand on the president's shoulder. He put one hand on the president's chest, and he prayed, run the video, he prayed every single word that God told him to say. And the incredible thing was, when he started praying, all kinds of other players for Alabama gathered around, and they prayed for him too. And when the prayer was over, Trump said, that was so beautiful. And he gave J.K. Scott a hug. And this is what J.K. Scott said. When you're dealing with the president at that level, it's not about politics. It's just about the man and the fact that God loves him and Jesus died for him and God wants to touch him and have him walk with Christ. Praying for him wasn't a political statement. It was all about Jesus. You get a chance like that to be that close to the president, you go for it. And you use that time to pray and hopefully touch his heart and change the country. Now, did the Eagles have the right not to show up at the White House that day for their sermon? Absolutely. But the question is, what good did it do? One team blew off the White House and protested the president. The other team showed up at the White House and prayed for the president. You got a problem with President Trump? You're going to protest that accomplishes absolutely nothing? Or are you going to pray that accomplishes absolutely everything? And can move mountains, and can change hearts, and change a nation. Look at that picture. All kinds, all races, all colors of Americans, with all their disagreements and with all their differences, coming together and seeking God for their leaders and for their nation, knowing ultimately that God is the only hope that we have. What America is, folks, that is what America is. Let's pray. Lord, we've already heard from Laura's testimony earlier in this service how we are abandoning the principles, Lord, that founded this nation. Abandoning, Lord, the truth of your word, retreating to socialism, tribalism, individualism. No sense anymore of what America's supposed to be, what we're supposed to stand for, how we're supposed to guide, how we're supposed to lead this nation. Lord, our continued prayer here at Fox River is for revival. Lord, for this country, the brand new awakening of the incredible gift that you've given us in freedom here in the United States. How much, Lord, we need to be fighting for that, standing for it, and protecting it. And Lord, I do thank you for all the people that you've added to this country over the years. 242 years, the immigrants who have came here, the credible contributions that they've made. And Lord, we look forward to many more coming here in a legal way to add to what you're doing here in this nation. Just pray, Lord, I pray that you would have mercy, Lord, and there would be one more revival before you come again. Starting here, all this we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.